Hi, good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to Positive Parenting Practices with Sharon Byrne. I am excited to have you listening in on this call today, and I guess I should start by telling you a little about myself and what makes me want to share this information with you, and also what qualifies me to share this information with you and how I landed where I am today. I attended Hofstra University, where I got my master's degree in rehabilitation counseling. I then went on to work for 20 years in a variety of settings dealing with persons with developmental and or mental developmental disabilities or mental illnesses. And I also worked with a lot of families during that time, helping them through the transition process and helping families and the individuals that they love develop the life that they want or create the life that they envision for themselves. So that is where a lot of my desire to do the kind of thing that I'm doing today in terms of public speaking came from. I recently went through some life changes of my own within the last 4 years, and I recognize that one thing that has remained a constant in my life is that I was born to do two things, be a mom and help people. So within the transitions that I went through in the last 4 years, I decided it was time for me to make a change and for me to make a transition and for me to, you know, basically if I could see it, I could be it. For me to create the life that I envisioned for myself and stop living the life that people pretty much have envisioned for me. I wanted to turn my life's vision into a reality so that I could help others turn their life's vision into reality. So I enrolled in a life coaching course because that is where my dream was, again, to be able to help people. The reason that I decided to do this was, as I said, my life went through a lot of transitions, and I decided that I wanted and needed and deserved to have more financial autonomy as well as autonomy over my schedule and autonomy over the manner in which I would help people. And the traditional employment world, as I like to call it, was not allowing me to do that. As a single mom, I definitely needed more control over my schedule, and I definitely also needed more financial autonomy. I mean, who doesn't need that? So, again, I decided to turn my vision into a reality, and I enrolled in a life coaching course, as I said. Probably one of the best decisions I ever made, if not the best decision I ever made. My son, who is the light of my life, has some medical and learning issues, and he required me to be around more, which obviously with conventional employment, it was not giving me that flexibility. And so for those of you who read my story, you might already know that I was born with cerebral palsy. And I've had, you know, I've been a wheelchair user all my life. Why I mentioned that at this point is because most people who know me think that being born with my disability is what motivates me and what drives me to do the things I do. And while those experiences have molded me and have driven me to do some of the things I do, it is really my son who motivates me to do what I do, and it is my experience with my son that has motivated me to become a life coach and be able to help people in a manner that I want to help them and allow me to be here for him and meet his needs and our financial needs all at the same time. My son is the greatest gift I have ever received, and he is the greatest gift I ever will receive. So I have no, you know, this is why I do what I do. This is who I am and why I do what I do. He drives me every day to be a better person. He makes me who I am. About a year ago, he was diagnosed with a severe anxiety disorder, as I said, requiring me to be around more. So I went ahead and, you know, tried to look into things that would allow me to be around more for him, again, and give me the financial autonomy that I need. So, you know, being around for him and watching what I went through with him, or experiencing what I went through with him, drove me to do this teleclass all on positive parenting and positive parenting practices. We get caught up in doing things the way that we think people want us to do them, or the way we think that we should do them. And in reality, we need to do the things that are best for us and best for the people that are in our lives. And for those of us that have children, we need to do what's best for our children, because they are counting on us. So my goal here today is to inspire you the way my son inspired me. I want to get you out of the mold of thinking that we need to do things as parents as the way as other parents do them. Because oftentimes we think that that's the only way we can be included and accepted, and it's not. The truth is, when we truly accept ourselves, that's how we bring true acceptance from other people towards us. So, as I said, my goal here today is to help you create the parenting atmosphere that you envision for yourself, that is not based on other people's opinions or other people's, or what works for other people. Because what works for other people may not work for you, and it may not work for your child. I would also like to say that before I go on, I would like to say that I am very excited to be sharing this information with you. Super excited to be sharing this information with you. As I said, my goal here is to help you create the parenting atmosphere that you envision for yourself, to turn your parenting vision into a reality the way I have been able to do so. It has been very freeing and liberating to parent in a manner that works well for myself and my son, regardless of what other people think. And I hope to do that for you. But what I want you to know is that some of this may not sit well with you. Some of this may actually offend you, or you may absolutely disagree with some of the information I'm going to share with you, and that is absolutely fine. Please disagree. Feel free to disagree. We can agree to disagree. What I'm asking you is to please just have an open mind. Be open-minded to the fact that if something is not working for you, then maybe one of these strategies will. And actually, I know one of these strategies will work for you if what you're doing currently isn't working. Okay? And if you're on the fence, if you're not sure if something's working for you and you think something might work better, then I just ask you again, be open-minded to the possibility that some of these techniques can and will work for you if you put in the time, the energy, and the effort. Because as we'll talk about later in other modules, parenting is a lifelong process, and it's work. It's not simple. It's not cut and dry. It's not easy. It's real parenting. It's real work. So what I'm going to say to you is, I'm a firm believer in the philosophy, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. If your parenting style is working for you and your child, leave it be. Stick with it. Keep on trucking. But if something is not working for you and you think that something might work better, then again, I ask you to stay open-minded. The possibilities are infinite when it comes to how we approach parenting, just like any other situation in life. The possibilities are infinite. Believe me when I tell you. I can tell you this from the bottom of my heart with every fiber of my being. I've witnessed it with my clients and their children. I've witnessed it with my own self and my own child. My son not only has a severe anxiety disorder, he was diagnosed at the age of 6 with ADHD. And actually, the anxiety disorder came later. As I said, it came about a year ago. So I've witnessed how transforming how I parent him has transformed our lives. And I want you to be able to experience that freedom, that liberation, not being frustrated 24/7, not feeling like you and your child are speaking a foreign language. Won't that be a great gift that you can give to your children or child and to yourself? Won't that be awesome? As your child grows and evolves, you will grow and evolve as a parent. And your parenting styles and strategies that were once working for you may not work for you anymore, and your parenting style is going to have to grow and evolve. My hope is that today will be the beginning of you learning some positive to parenting that you can grow and evolve with as you and your child or children grow and evolve throughout their lifespan. So, Module 1 of this positive parenting teleclass, which is 4 modules, is today, and we are going to talk about the definition of positive parenting and how to develop strategies to remove self-doubt from parenting. 2 very huge components to beginning the positive parenting practices that led you to listen to this teleclass. So, let's just say, before we go any further, I like to start with a question. Let's get started. Before I go any further, I'd like to start with a question. I'm so excited. Let's get started. So here's the question. Are you ready for the question? I hope so. Hang on tight, because here's the question. What is your definition of positive parenting practices? How would you define positive parenting? Think about that for a moment, people. As you sit here and listen to me speak, what image comes to your mind immediately when you hear me say the words positive parenting practices? What did that conjure up in your mind? What is your definition of positive parenting practices? Write it down. Write down some key things, some key phrases, some key words, some key images that were conjured up in your mind immediately upon hearing me ask you that question. Okay, so now you've had some time to think and write down some ideas of yours that were conjured up when you heard me ask, what is your definition of positive parenting? So now, I will go on to discuss with you what I have learned about the definition of positive parenting practices over the last 10 years of raising my son. Positive parenting practices seize the opportunity to teach and have children learn, as opposed to being authoritative or because I said so parenting styles. Positive parenting practices are an agreement versus rules. When a child is invested and a child has say in what the agreement is, what the expectations are, they are more apt to follow the agreement. But in addition, if the child has say in helping to pick his or her consequences, they may balk when they receive the consequence, but you as the parent can remind them, hey, dude or dudette, we agreed that if you didn't do X, then Y was going to happen. And you helped come up with this plan. So then you ask your child, what should happen if you do X? The child will say, most honestly, probably, Y, but I'm not happy about it. Just because they pick the consequence with you does not mean they're going to be happy they're receiving it. But you can turn around and say to them, who should you be angry with for the fact that you're receiving this consequence? Because you knew if you didn't turn off the video games that the next day you wouldn't be playing any video games. So since you're not able to play video games today, who should you be angry at? And honestly speaking, it has been my experience and the experience of some of my clients, as you will hear later, that although the child, as I said, is not happy with receiving the consequence, they were part of picking the consequence, and they know that they didn't follow through with the agreement the way they were supposed to, so a consequence has to be given. Just like they earn the rewards, they earn the consequence. So positive parenting seizes the opportunity to have a child learn by being involved in the agreement process as opposed to authoritative or because I said so kind of rules. Positive parenting has a lot of benefits. It allows for the self-growth of your child. It increases a child's problem-solving skills, and it helps them to have an understanding of the consequences. Positive parenting uses natural consequences whenever possible. And by natural consequences, we'll get into it a little deeper later, but by natural consequences, I mean if you don't do your homework, then you have to go to school and deal with the teacher and not have recess because you didn't do your homework. Same as for us adults, if we don't do our work at work, we get that our boss is expecting us to do, we can either get written up or receive a verbal warning, or maybe we'll get a cut in pay. We'll definitely get a cut in pay if we're late, right? So that's what I mean about natural consequences. What else are the benefits of positive parenting? So many, but it empowers your child because it provides choice. It decreases their level of frustration. So in decreasing the level of the frustration of the child, you're decreasing the level of frustration for you, the parent. Isn't that amazing? It takes into account your uniqueness, your child's uniqueness, and the uniqueness of the situation as it applies to you and your child, not as it applies to everybody who's a parent. Positive parenting takes into account your uniqueness, the uniqueness of your child, and the uniqueness of their situation as it applies to you. I did repeat that because it bears repeating. Positive parenting also means parents have to take their emotions out of parenting. What do I mean by that? I don't mean don't get emotional. I don't mean don't get ticked off. You're human. You're going to get angry. What I mean is don't parent during those emotional times. Take your emotions out of a parenting situation, out of a teaching and learning situation. If you need to, this goes to my next point. Delay disciplining your child until your anger has diffused. It's very important that you try and remove your emotions from the discipline process. So obviously if something occurs, you're human, so the first thing that's going to happen is you're going to get some kind of emotion. You're going to feel frustrated. You're going to feel angry. You're going to feel sad. You're going to feel pissed. You're going to feel all of that. That is not a very effective time to put discipline or consequence in place. At that point, you're being an emotional reactor rather than reacting to the situation. You're not able to use that moment as a teaching tool. So you say, well, how do I do that? How do we do this? We delay discipline until our anger and immediate frustration has dissipated. Never discipline in the heat of the moment of anger or frustration. You don't get anything out of it, and your child doesn't get anything out of it. Actually, both of you do get something out of it, but it's nothing positive. You each get more and more frustrated and more angry. So, delay discipline. Saying something as simply as, I am not happy with what's going on right now, but I am too angry or too frustrated to talk to you right now. So after I calm down a little later on, don't think that I have forgotten about this. We will be talking about this later, and there will be talk about our agreement that we made and which consequence this behavior or action meets. It doesn't make you a bad parent. It makes you a calm parent. And positive parenting comes from a place of calmness. It comes from a place of mutual respect and understanding. That's where positive parenting comes from. Here's the thing. Don't tell your child things. Ask questions. Let the child figure it out. Positive parenting allows for the child to figure things out. It allows them to develop their problem-solving skills. It allows them to develop self-confidence with, I can screw up and I can still be okay. What a gift. What a gift. Let your child figure it out. When my son asks me, I can't play video games today, right? I say to him, you tell me. Did you turn the video games off when you were supposed to last night? Often he'll say, no, I didn't. And then I say, well, you tell me, what does that mean? Can you play video games today? And he'll say to me, no, Mommy, I can't, because I did not honor our agreement and turn my video games off by 10:30 last night. And that's what I mean by asking a question. So, I'm going to cover three main points within this teleclass on positive parenting. And the first main point that I want to bring out is that positive parenting needs you to be confident. We need to remove your self-doubt in being a parent and your parenting style as much as possible. So, what are strategies to removing self-doubt? The first one is, stay calm. The calmer we stay as parents, the calmer our child stays. They feed off our energy. If we're excited, they're excited. If we're anxious, they're anxious. If we're in a rush, they're in a rush. Trust me, this is proven by research. And I can tell you from anecdotal experience and my own life experience, it has been proven in my own home time and time again. The calmer we stay, the calmer our child stays. Now, to go back to my son and his love of video games, not to bore you with that example, but it's just such a great example in my own home as to how, because my son is enthralled with video games, if not playing video games, drawing pictures of video game characters. So anyhow, many times he gets so caught up in the game, he won't turn the game off when he's supposed to. And before I learned positive parenting practices or more positive parenting practices, I got very caught up in making sure that my parenting style was the image of what I thought parenting was supposed to be, which is basically I say something, you listen, because I said so, or authoritative. I'm not a very authoritative person. However, when it came to parenting, I felt like I was being judged because if I said to my son, turn off the video games or put on your jacket or you need socks, he's not the type of kid that'll just go, oh, okay, Mom, and just do it. And I felt like I was being judged by people near and far because I couldn't get him to just listen. What I realized over time is that he's a person. He may be 10, but he's a person with his own thoughts and his own mind and his own wants and needs, and he is gonna test his boundaries every chance he can get. But if I stay calm while he's testing his boundaries, the two of us are a lot better off. So when he wouldn't turn off his video games at first, I would be like, this freaking 9-year-old thinks he's got one over on me. This freaking 9-year-old is basically ruling the roost and telling this 45-year-old what to do or what he's not going to do or how things are going to go. But then when I learned through doing these positive parenting practices, it was amazing because I changed how I thought. And I said, all right, he thinks he's in control, but in reality, he's really not. So if I stay calm, it's all good because he's not the one ruling the roost. He's only 9. I have the keys to almost everything this kid needs. So once I realized that, it was like a weight was lifted off my shoulders, because then I turned around to him and said, Aaron, play the video games all you want. I hope it's worth it to you. I hope you're enjoying playing them tonight, because tomorrow there will be no video games. When you come home from school, all your remotes will be gone, because of my physical disability, I can't remove the actual video game systems. But the beauty of it is, if you don't have remotes, you can't play the video games. And that is true even of the video games that you play with the motion sensors, because you need to be able to turn certain things on with the remotes before it can read who you are. So I realized he may think he's in control, and in reality, he may be in control in that moment, but it's really me who's in control. So the calmer you can stay, the better off you are going to be, and the better off your child is going to be. Because my 9-year-old did not have control. He wasn't winning one over on me. I had control. I asked him a question. I then turned what I said into a question, and I said, what do you think is going to happen if you don't turn off the video games based on our agreement? And he said, I will lose my video games. And I said again, that is correct. Let me remind you what I just said. You can play until you fall asleep with the remote in your hand, but tomorrow there will be absolutely no video games. and I will keep your remotes until I see that you're starting to do other things that you're supposed to be doing, so I know you have a better chance of following through on our agreement when it comes to the video games. Another example is of this, about staying calm, is I had a client who was a quadriplegic and a full-time wheelchair user. He had twins, and I remember him, and they're fraternal, so they're a boy and a girl, and I remember him telling me about his son. And he said they had steps in their house, and when his son was 5 years old, he would do something wrong, and he would immediately go upstairs. And he would say to my client, "Dad, there's nothing you can do about it because you can't walk down the stairs or walk up the stairs." And my client would say, "You know what, Joe? You're right. However, there's a lot of things down these stairs that you need. So eventually you're going to have to come downstairs. And eventually you and I are going to be able to talk. But not only are we going to be able to talk, I am going to take the things that you need from down here and I will have them until you honor our agreement. So stay at the top of the stairs for as long as you like, but eventually you're going to have to come down. And eventually, you're going to have to deal with me." Perfect example of, he just stayed calm. Just, okay, stay at the top of the stairs for as long as you like, but if you can't stay up there forever. Eventually, you're going to need to come down, buddy. And when you do, I'll be here to meet you. Right? So staying calm is a beautiful, beautiful thing. Also, honor your uniqueness. Please honor your uniqueness and your child's uniqueness and the uniqueness of the situation as it applies to you. My client's situation was very unique to him. He was a wheelchair user. Son figured out, "Dad can't get upstairs." Right? He wasn't worried about, you know, all those other parents that say, "Well, if I tell my son to get down those stairs, he better get down those stairs now." His son knew he couldn't make him. My client wasn't worried about what was going to happen if other people came in his house and saw that his child, for the moment, had one over on him, because he knew he really didn't have one over on him. He couldn't stay at top of the stairs forever. So honor your uniqueness. Honor the uniqueness of your physical abilities. Honor the uniqueness of your personality. Honor the uniqueness of your child's personality. And honor the uniqueness of the situation as it applies to the two of you, not how it applies to everybody in America. You're not everybody in America. We're all individuals, and that includes our children. Children have their own personalities. We can't forget that. We cannot forget that. It is too important. Okay? I'll give you a minute to digest that. Okay, so now, after we've learned to stay calm, the next thing we have to do is fake it till we make it. The more confident we are, the more confident we appear, at least, to our children, the more confident our children will feel. So even if you don't feel confident in this parenting situation, fake it. Because the more confident you appear, the more confident your children will feel. Children thrive on predictability and consistency. This goes back to removing your emotions. If your child says to you, "I hate you," the immediate knee-jerk response is what? To shrivel up inside, right? And to say, "Oh my God, I don't want my child to hate me." Right? That's the internal side of you. Try not to let them see it. Fake it. Fake it. And don't let the emotions overtake the parenting situation. It's okay. I'm your parent. You're not always supposed to like me. Matter of fact, at times you are going to hate me. And that's okay. Seem unbothered. Appear unbothered by what they say. They don't mean what they say, and they're doing it to push your buttons, to try and hurt you the way they feel they're being hurt, and also to try and get you to cave. So try, as I said before, and I'm saying it again because it's such an important point. Try and remove your emotions and focus on the situation and the behavior that needs to be dealt with, not how they're making you feel. If your child is throwing things and you're sitting there thinking to yourself, "I go to other people's houses, I don't see their child throwing things, I must be a terrible parent, I stink at this, I suck at this, what am I doing?" Those emotions are going to come through into the parenting situation. You got to fake it. Even if you feel like the worst parent ever, you got to appear like you're so confident that you're the best parent ever. Deal with the behavior. Your child's throwing things? Ask a question. What is making you throw things? Often you'll get back, "Because I'm angry." What's making you angry? Sometimes you'll get, "And I don't know." Always a fan favorite, because you can't do much with that in the moment. Or sometimes you'll get, "Well, you made me mad." And then you can say something like, "Well, I'm sorry I made you mad. However, how is throwing things helping you or making the situation better? What is throwing things accomplishing for you? Tell me a better way to deal with anger than throwing things." Again, goes back to the asking questions. Let them figure it out. And let me warn you that this does not always work immediately, and it does not always work effectively on the first, second, third, fourth, fifth try. Excuse me. It could take 100 tries before this works. But as I said earlier, parenting is work. We'll get into that in a later module in positive parenting practices. We will get into all of this in more detail, and a lot of this will overlap. I promise you that, because parenting isn't just a linear thing. Parenting is an evolving process as you and your child evolve. So a lot of this will overlap, and that's okay. But you want to keep your emotions as much as possible out of the parenting situation and deal with the behavior or the situation that needs to be dealt with rather than the emotion. Okay? Because, again, the more confident you feel, I'm sorry, the more confident you appear to feel, the more confident your child will feel. Because the more you can stay in control when they're losing control, that is very reassuring for the child. It is a very secure feeling to know that you're losing control, but somebody you trust and rely on so much, regardless of how much you're losing control, is staying in control. And that is why it is so important for parents to stay in control. It benefits the child, it benefits the parent, it benefits the whole situation. Okay? So now let's move on to the next thing. Another way to remove self-doubt is to reprogram your thinking, your self-talk. Our words are very powerful. And often our own self-talk is generated by the self-talk, the talk we've heard from other people, meaning the things people have said to us, about us, behind our back, in front of us, around us, over us. Often our self-talk is learned over years. It is learned over our growing up process. You need to, often we take over for those people that were in our lives on a consistent basis when we were younger, before we became parents. So if we were hearing negative things or not such positive things, we often take over for those very people and we become our own worst critics. You need to reprogram your thoughts. An example of this might be, I suck at being a parent. I just don't know why I became a parent, because I just suck. Right? When the bottom line is, you don't suck at being a parent. You're having difficulty in the moment. So reprogram your thinking. Instead of saying, I suck as a parent, say something like, I'm usually very good at figuring these things out, but currently, in this moment, I'm not getting it. You can even go as far as to say, I'm frustrated. I am truly frustrated by the fact that I can't figure this out right now. And right now, in this moment, I feel like I just don't got it. But in focusing on the moment, as in you just don't got it, so to speak, as opposed to a generalization that you totally suck as a parent overall, do you see the difference? One brings you down. One is an uplifting statement. It's saying, I don't suck overall. I just ain't getting it right at this moment. Give yourself a break. Be kind to yourself. You don't have to have all the answers immediately. If you do, you're superhuman, and please email me immediately after you listen to this teleclass and give me your secrets. I want to know. Thirdly, another way to remove self-doubt from parenting is to be flexible. Pick your battles. Perfect example of this is what I like to refer to as my jacket versus car story. My ex-husband had this thing that our son, had to put on a jacket every morning in the winter. I mean, had to. Like, his world was going to end if he could not get our son to put a jacket on. And my ex-husband has a very authoritative, because I said so, type of parenting style. So he would say, put your jacket on now, and he'd get all crazy. He wouldn't remain calm. He didn't really appear confident because he would lose control by yelling and screaming and, you have to do this now, kind of thing. But then, truthfully, after we got separated and divorced, I rethought things a little bit. And I said to myself, is putting on a jacket when it's cold out a battle that I really need to fight? Will he maybe get a little cold? Will he possibly get sick from not putting a jacket on? Maybe, but maybe not, because there are some myths to whether, you know, cold really, being a little cold really makes you sick or not. Actually, cold fights germs, little side note. But anyhow, and this is what went through my head as I'm thinking about all this. But anyhow, back to the story more. Anyhow, so I began to realize that if my son was cold enough, he would come back into the house and get his own jacket. I began to realize that if I stuck his jacket in his backpack and he turned to me and said, is the house locked? I need to go get a jacket. I could turn around and say, I put your jacket in your backpack just in case you got cold. 9 mornings out of 10 during the winter, he would turn around, still to this day, and put his jacket on. I let him learn the lesson for himself. I empowered him. I gave him choice. Not all children are made to be parented through an authoritative because I said so. And it would be a heck of a lot easier if they were. I'll give you that. But choice works too. Does choice take a lot more energy and effort? Absolutely. Have I seen it, and have my clients seen it be more beneficial in the end for everybody in their particular situations? Absolutely. As I said earlier, if your parenting style is working for you, if it ain't broke, keep on trucking. Don't fix it. But if it isn't working, you owe it to yourself and to your child or children to try something different. So he learned that if he was cold enough, he would put his jacket on. Where does the car come into place? There are some battles that are worth having. And as I shared with you earlier, he was diagnosed with ADHD. For those of you that don't know, attention deficit disorder, hyperactivity disorder. Along with the hyperactivity, often comes impulsivity. So he will often run out into the middle of the street without looking. That is something that I never let him choose over. That is a battle worth having. Because as I've told my son, you don't want to wear a jacket, that's not going to kill you. However, if you meet a car while you're standing on the street, the car is going to win 9.5 times out of 10. That's a safety issue. That doesn't get negotiated. So there are certain aspects and certain decisions in parenting that don't get negotiated. As a parent, I get to lay down that rule, and that's my right as a parent. I have a client whose son loves to ride his bike, absolutely refuses to ride his bike on the sidewalk because the sidewalks are bumpy, likes to ride his bike in the street because the streets are smoother. But this child absolutely insists on riding his bike in the middle of the street because the middle of the street is the smoothest part of the street. Let me ask you, I'll give you a second to think about it. Is that situation or non-negotiable situation? All I agree. That is non-negotiable. Riding your bike in the middle of the street, you can get killed in the blink of an eye. Therefore, through our coaching experience, my client began to realize that riding the bike in the middle of the street was non-negotiable. So, how did he choose to resolve it? Very simply, he went home and told his son, if you do not ride your bike on the sidewalk, then you do not ride your bike. Now, sounds simpler than it is, because obviously his son didn't listen the first time. He was sowing his oats and feeling his boundaries, so to speak, or testing his boundaries, so to speak. So, my client proved to his son that if he did not ride his bike on the sidewalk, there would be no bike to ride. And he removed the bike from their home for 2 weeks. Now, that doesn't mean this is going to be a one-and-out thing where you're going to take the bike away once and your child is going to learn. They'll learn for a little while, and then they'll test their boundaries again, and you'll have to reteach the same lesson. But that's okay. It really is okay. It doesn't make you a bad parent if your kid is not one of those kids that you say jump and he says how high, or where you take something away once, or you follow an agreement with a consequence once and the child learns after one time. How often do you learn after one time? Lots of us have to revisit things and and have the opportunity to learn them again. It doesn't make you a bad parent. It makes your child an autonomous, curious, pushing the boundaries, testing the limits child, which is what children are supposed to do. As I said earlier, another way to be flexible is let your child be invested in the consequences and the rewards. One of my clients was absolutely insistent that their child go to bed by 10 o'clock. This child is not one of those simple children that if you say the sky is blue, the sky is going to be blue. So, of course, the child said 10:30. So my client said 10:15. Now, when she started this whole thing about negotiating the bedtime, she had her absolute limit in her head for the time her child would be in bed was 10:15. That's why she started with 10, because she knew her child would probably push for another half hour. So she had a 15-minute leeway where she got the child to go to bed exactly when she wanted. Or if not exactly when she wanted, exactly where she wanted within the negotiation process. So let your child be invested in the consequence or the reward. Let them have say in what happens. Another way to remove self-doubt by being flexible is try and avoid rigid thinking. Rigid thinking leads to failure and self-doubt. It leads to thinking, feeling like a failure, and it leads to perpetuating self-doubt. What do you think I mean by rigid thinking? Think about it for a minute. What I mean is very simple. Rigid thinking is, my child must go to bed by 10 because that's what I say. My child must wear a jacket because it's cold out and I say so. When the child doesn't respond in a manner where you say jump and they say how high, it's automatically going to bring up feelings of frustration and feelings of self-doubt and feelings of failure in you. So being more flexible in your thinking when it comes to your parenting will help you eliminate self-doubt. Lastly, when it comes to being flexible, think about what makes you doubt yourself. Where does this doubt come from? Whose story are you living when it comes to parenting your child? Is your self-doubt being created because you're living somebody else's parenting story? You're living the story of, if I say my child should go to bed at 10, then they should go to bed at 10. You're living the story of, if I say my child should wear a jacket, my child should wear a jacket, no questions asked. Whose story is that? Is that the story you see with your friends? Do they have the ability to make their child or to get their child to do what they say on the first or second try? Is it the story of your parents when you were being brought up and raised and disciplined? If your father or mother spoke, did you just do what they said because they were your authority figure and because they were your elders? Whose story are you living? Chances are, if you're doubting yourself, you're not being true to yourself and you're living somebody else's story. So ask yourself, whose story is this? If it's not your own, begin at this moment to live your own story. And you ask me how to do that? Even if you don't know how to exactly do that, just when you're involved in a parenting situation, if you see yourself falling back into that habit or that thought process, just recognizing that you're parenting through somebody else's story is the first step. Just recognize it and be proud of yourself for recognizing it. Now, I know we covered a lot today. So, in conclusion, what I'd like to say is that we spoke about the definition of positive parenting practices and how to remove self-doubt from the parenting process. Positive parenting is based on an agreement versus rules type of thinking. Positive parenting seizes the opportunity to teach and have the child learn, as opposed to being authoritative and because I said so parenting. Positive parenting has so many benefits. Just to review some of the benefits, positive parenting increases a child's problem-solving skills. It helps them to have an understanding of consequences. Positive parenting uses natural consequences whenever possible. It empowers a child by providing choice. It decreases the frustration of the parent and the child. Positive parenting takes into account your uniqueness, your child's uniqueness, the uniqueness of the situation. Positive parenting practices help you remove and take emotions out of parenting. It helps you stop personalizing situations during a parenting situation. It enables parents to develop strategies to eliminate self-doubt. That's what positive parenting practices do. Positive parenting strategies, when learned, delay discipline until a parent's immediate frustration or disappointment or anger dissipates. Positive parenting practices teach you ways to never discipline in the heat of anger or frustration. Positive parenting practices help a child trust themselves and become more confident in themselves by having them be able to figure it out. Ask questions in positive parenting. don't always tell your children things and give them the answer. Ask them questions like, what do you think should happen because you didn't do your homework? Asking questions makes them think, and it empowers them. It gives them confidence, and it lets them know that you believe in them as well. We also discussed 3 strategies for removing self-doubt from your parenting. First was staying calm. The calmer you stay, the calmer your child stays. The second main point we talked about today was fake it until you make it. Appear confident in a parenting situation even when you know you're not. Kids thrive on consistency and predictability. That's what happens when you fake it till you make it. It enables you to stay predictable and consistent, even when inside you're all over the road. Lastly, and equally as important, because I never like to say one of these things is more important than the other, be flexible in parenting. Be flexible with yourself, be flexible with your child, be flexible within your parenting strategies. If one strategy is not working for you at the moment, go to the next. Do what you can to stay away from the because I said so model or the authoritative model. Those models often set you up for self-doubt and feeling like a failure. So remaining flexible is a great way to remove self-doubt from parenting practices. Parenting is a lifelong 24 hours, 7-day-a-week commitment. Remember to be patient with yourself and kind to yourself. Parenting is not an exact science. As your child grows and evolves, so do you. As your child grows and evolves and you grow and evolve, your parenting practices will grow and evolve too. Parenting is a continuous process. It is not a static one. Parenting practices never stay the same. They may be similar, they may fall under the same category, but nothing can ever stay exactly the same because that doesn't allow for growth. It doesn't take into account the growth that naturally happens. Now I would just like to say, I would just like to remind you that my goal here today was to present to you the infinite possibilities, or that possibilities are infinite when it comes to parenting. Just like any other situation in life, how we handle our parenting of our children, the number of possibilities are infinite. My goal here today was to share these positive parenting practices with you to hopefully help you turn the parenting that you envision into a reality. How you choose to parent into a reality. That was my goal here today. By no means do I expect you to take on my philosophies or philosophies I've learned through my clients as your own. Not at all. That wouldn't be honoring your uniqueness at all. I want to honor your uniqueness and offer you possibilities. As I said at the beginning of my presentation today, if it ain't broke for you, don't fix it. However, if something's not working for you, I hope that something within this teleclass resonated with you and gives you the empowerment and the freedom and the peace of mind to be able to turn parenting from what others envision for you or what you envision parenting to be based on other people's stories into the parenting that you envision for yourself and your child. Turn parenting into the vision that you had. Turn your vision of parenting into a reality for yourself. It has been an honor sharing this information and time with you today. Excuse me. Thank you for the opportunity. I can't thank you enough for the opportunity for me to be able to pay this information forward. I look forward to sharing Module 2 with you, in which we'll discuss cookie-cutter parenting. I will see you next Thursday at the same time. Enjoy your week. If this teleclass resonates with you and you would like more in-depth information and or strategies about how to parent your child specifically, feel free to contact me. My email is sharon@possibilitiesareinfinite.com. That is all lowercase letters, all one word, the word possibilities, the letter R, and the word infinite.com. And please check me out on the web at www.possibilitiesareinfinite.com. And again, that is all one word, lowercase, and R is the letter R. Thank you again, and have a wonderful, 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 great day. And I will see you again soon. Bye now.